This morning we'll be following the office of prime, which is on page 108. We'll begin there with the versicles. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, chapter 5 of St. Matthew's Gospel begins with Jesus giving us a list of those who are blessed: the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, the merciful, the peacemakers. Some of these often end up on protest signs, especially that blessed are the peacemakers one, as people gather to speak out against one thing or another which annoys them. But these last few of the Beatitudes perhaps do not lend themselves quite so well to bumper sticker politics or theology, for that matter. Blessed are the persecutors. Blessed are the slandered. Here we come face to face with the paradox of the Christian life, the theology of the cross written into the very life of Christians. First, though, let us notice that in verse 10, the blessed persecuted ones are persecuted for a particular thing, for righteousness' sake. And Jesus adds to this in verse 11, "Blessed are you when you are slandered for my sake." They are not blessed by being persecuted for stealing, for child abuse, for murder, for sedition. They cannot commit these crimes, get caught and be punished, and then complain about the unfairness of the world and seek sympathy for being persecuted. No, the blessed persecuted ones receive that hatred of the world because of the gospel, the righteousness of faith, the confession of Jesus Christ as Savior. St. Peter echoes this in his first letter, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Martin Luther, when listing the various ways by which you can know where to find the Holy Christian Church, the marks of the church, includes at the end of his list the Holy Cross. And he explains it this way: the holy Christian people are externally recognized by the holy possession of the sacred cross. They must endure every misfortune and persecution, all kinds of trial and evil from the devil, the world, and the flesh, as the Lord's Prayer indicates, by inward sadness, timidity, fear, outward poverty, contempt, illness, and weakness, in order to become like their head, Christ. And the only reason they must suffer is that they steadfastly adhere to Christ and God's word, enduring this for the sake of Christ. Our Lord and Savior wants us to know, not to be surprised at, the ferociousness of the resistance of the devil and the world to him, his truth, and those who believe in him. Jesus wants you to expect it. Such hatred was directed against the prophets, and it was directed against him, and it will still be felt today by those who take up their cross and follow Jesus. However, the word blessed is not to be overlooked. Jesus describes all these terrible things as blessings because they push us closer to our Savior. Christ's people already have eternal life, heaven, the glories and riches of being God's own adopted sons and daughters, priests of the Most High God. And now those who persecute you for such blessings from God only serve to show how foolish, mean, weak, and detestable are the powers of this world and the lies of Satan. As Luther put it in his unique style, "Should not the dear Lord's word and comfort be dearer and more important to us than that which comes from a helpless bag of worms?" That's these people. Just think of those who are deriding the Christian faith, of those who persecute God's people. Where will they be shortly? Rotting in a grave. And so why should we fear them? Why should their threats intimidate us? Consider the disciples at the end of Mark chapter 4. They're in a small boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. A storm arises, the wind is howling, the boat fills with water, they are sinking, and they fear death has come. And where is Jesus? Well, he's sleeping there in the boat. And they cry out to Jesus, "Don't you care about us? Don't you want to help us?" Jesus gets up, he tells the wind and the waves to quiet down, calm comes upon the waters, and Jesus says, "Why are you fearful? Why do you not have faith?" Persecution here and now, the lies and slanders of those who hate the gospel, seem like waves that tower over our little ship, the Christian church. The winds that blow so fiercely that seemingly will capsize our little boat are powerful. We're tossed around like leaves in the strong fall winds with no control. But do you know what the cross is all about? It is about believing that what seems weak and foolish to us is God's way of working his strength and his wisdom. We simply must trust his word, his promises, his truth. Is Jesus more powerful than wind and waves? Yes, he made them. Is he wiser than a bag of worms? Well, undoubtedly. And we might think we are too. But we find ourselves often looking fearfully at the outward appearance of worldly power instead of trusting and knowing the reality of the weakness of such human powers in comparison to Jesus. Over the past few weeks, many of us have sung the verses of Martin Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And in verse 4, we confess, "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit, and take they our life. Goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." You can hear the echo of our text in those lines. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." We are reminded also of the truth in that verse in "For All the Saints" that you sang yesterday, which includes the phrase speaking of the difference between the saints already in heaven and we saints who remain on earth for now. We feebly struggle. They in glory shine. Be encouraged by these words of Jesus, and do not let the struggles of this world dismay you. Here you have the very word of the Son of God, spoken and written for your comfort. By these words, our Good Shepherd arms us, and then we shall be unafraid and ready to suffer if for his sake persecution and reviling fall on us. We may with confidence claim the victory of Jesus as our own, a victory over these enemies, devil and world. God bless you with such confidence in the promises of Jesus, for you are his saints, his blessed ones, through faith in Jesus. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise. We'll continue on page 108 with the responsory, followed by a prayer request, and then we'll go into the prayers following that. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us.
Arise, O Christ, and help us.
And deliver us for your name's sake.
Our prayer request is on behalf of Linda Logie. She's recently worked in our admissions office here and has been auditing classes this fall. She is having surgery today to remove a large mass on her brain. We pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, at your invitation, we approach your throne on behalf of your child, Linda. Be with her through this surgery. Grant wisdom and ability to those who care for her. Above all, strengthen her by the power of your saving word and through the promises of everlasting life you have given to your saints by the work of your Son. We commit her into your loving care and ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord Almighty, order this day and all our doings in his peace.